From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells. Today is the day that NASA will land the first rover on Mars in nearly a decade. The name of the rover is Perseverance, and she will search for signs of life, collect the first samples that will be returned by a future mission, and pave the way for human explorers. Joining us today to talk about the mission is Kirsten Seebach. She is an assistant professor in the Rice University Department of Earth, Environmental, and Planetary Sciences. She is also a Martian geologist. Kirsten Seebach, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is an exciting day.
This is a very, very exciting day. Perseverance is the first rover to land on Mars since Curiosity in 2012. What makes this rover different and special?
Yeah, this one will have about the same size as Curiosity, but it's going to a whole new destination and it has a new mission. So this destination is actually one that we haven't been able to visit before. We had to develop a higher precision landing system to be able to visit Jezero Crater. And Perseverance will go to Jezero Crater and will actually collect samples that will in the future be returned to Earth. And so this is the first mission to collect samples that we will be able to bring back to Earth and investigate with all of our laboratory instruments here.
And back to the landing area, there could be some boulders, there could be some other small craters. What tools is Perseverance going to be able to use, or what tools will the craft that is lowering Perseverance onto the Martian soil, what tools will be deployed to pick a safe landing area?
Yeah, it's a really challenging landing area. And the good thing about that is that it's really exciting geology. You can imagine that if you wanted to see rocks that record the history of the Earth, you would want to go to the Grand Canyon. But if you wanted to safely land over a flat area, that's not the first place you would pick. And so Jezero Crater is really exciting, but it is also an area where there are a lot of cliffs and boulders and different hazards that the rover will have to kind of land near. And so in order to do that, the engineers at NASA developed a new radar computer system that's actually on board and preloaded with kind of a Google Maps of Mars. And so as it's landing, it will actually look down at the ground and identify hazards and identify the location that it's already been taught about in the landing area and find a safe spot to put Perseverance on the ground.
So you talk about the Jezero Crater as being the place that's, I guess, most geologically rich, or where you can extract the most interesting types of data. Talk a little bit about that and the selection of this crater as the landing spot.
Yeah, with this mission, we're really hoping to seek signs of ancient life. NASA's had a long history of exploring Mars with this kind of idea, but we first had to identify that there was water in the past and that there were environments where life could have lived. And previous missions have done just that. And so this mission is really designed to go that one step further and really look for signs of ancient life. And the exciting thing about this landing site is that it preserves, it's a crater that once held a lake the size of Lake Tahoe. And those rivers were cutting across this area that has some of the oldest rocks on Mars. They're actually older than any rocks that we have here on Earth. And those really ancient rocks that were present just after Mars formed, and they represent a great, possible, exciting environment for life. It was early water interacting with volcanic rocks. Those came down in the river into this lake. And so it's just this really great combination of places, you know, sourcing the really old rocks coming into a giant lake that was once on Mars, where we might be able to look for these signs of ancient life.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So Mars Curiosity, Perseverance, and this sidekick, which is a helicopter drone, Ingenuity. And before you talk about this, who chooses the names of these rovers?
We have competitions for that for K through 12 students. So these names were all chosen by students who wrote essays with their name idea and an explanation of why. But Perseverance and Ingenuity were perfect names for these missions, especially in these last couple of years we've had.
If you require instant gratification, NASA's the place you shouldn't be. I mean, this has been in the planning stage for over 10 years. And this afternoon, it will enter the Mars atmosphere. Tell us what you'll be doing to slow that thing down.
Yeah, it's definitely a long-term plan. So today's the really exciting day between about a decade of or a couple decades of building and planning and developing and what will hopefully be another decade or so of exploring and decades of exploration and discovery to come. And today's really that point right in the middle. And we have to get Perseverance from over 12,000 miles per hour to 0 miles per hour safely, softly onto Mars. And in between that, in order to accomplish that, we use the Mars atmosphere as much as we can to help us slow down. There's a heat shield. We'll just use the friction of the Mars atmosphere. And then we use a supersonic parachute. That supersonic parachute is one of the largest we've ever built. And it slows Perseverance down the next steps. But the Mars atmosphere, it helps. It's just not quite thick enough to have that parachute slow it down enough to get safely onto the ground. And so the final landing stage is called the sky crane. And that's basically a compartment with some jet packs, and it's going to shoot those jet packs off so that it can actually control the landing sequence for the end of Perseverance's landing. Those jet packs will slow it down, and Perseverance will be dropped from some cords so that it's actually a little ways below the jet packs when it lands on the ground. And then that sky crane will fly away and crash elsewhere, leaving Perseverance basically just kind of appearing. If you were a Martian, you know, Perseverance is just now sitting on the ground in a place where nothing was there previously.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Kirsten Seebach, who is a Martian geologist. You were mentioning about this entry into the atmosphere and the slowing down of the craft and Perseverance, the rover. And you're talking about trying to use the atmosphere as much as you could to grab that friction. The Mars atmosphere is 1% of our atmosphere here on Earth. That presents challenges, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's enough to make it harder to land on than the moon, where you can plan on there being no atmosphere at all, but still not quite enough to slow the craft down for a safe landing with just a parachute.
Can we go back to the supersonic parachute and how that works? I mean, to use the word sonic, which I think I only partially understand, and then parachute, the two concepts just don't go together for me in my mind. And I brought up the animation of the test of the supersonic parachute. So maybe you can explain how it all works.
Yeah, it's you're right. That is a tricky term. So supersonic just means that it's going to have to be able to deploy while Perseverance is moving more than the speed of sound. And so we just had to develop a parachute that was strong enough that would actually deploy and come out as a parachute. The same concerns as with any parachute, right? It's got to be secure and have the right cords and be strong enough to actually deploy at greater than the speed of sound in order to slow Perseverance down through that Martian atmosphere.
Which is crazy, because how could it both be tough enough to withstand the speed of sound and then also become compact enough to be able to carry along with the rover? The Mars Perseverance launched, I think it was last July of 2020. So it takes about 7 months. Were you able to say it's going to be February 18th on the launch date? Or did you have to see how the journey was going? You know, how did the journey go? Were there any mishaps or any unplanned series of events along the way?
It's actually gone great. We could say that it was February 18th, even on the day we launched, and actually before, when we had some flexibility on the launch window, we had already planned that the landing would be February 18th. And that has to do with exactly where the planets are aligned for Perseverance to launch and when it'll get to Mars based on that launch window from Earth. And everything has gone wonderfully. We have just a few opportunities. It's actually surprising how few opportunities we have along the way to really adjust the course while maintaining the correct amount of fuel. And those have all gone very smoothly. So we're now completely on track and excited for landing today.
Kristen, there's two other firsts with this mission. One is that you're going to be recording sound for the first time, and that's very exciting. And then, of course, one of the other firsts is that you'll be collecting samples that will eventually make it back to Earth. So tell us about those two exciting pieces of the mission.
Yeah, the sound, I mean, it partially just goes back to we are human and we explore with our senses. So everything we've understood on Earth started with people walking around and exploring with their five senses. And it always ends up seeming a little bit limited that we have only had kind of the other four senses on Mars through robotics up to now. And so we're really excited to get that sound, get that additional sense that we'll be able to understand. And I realize I said we have all four senses on Mars. It depends on how you interpret our different instrumentation, but we've had instruments on different missions that have been able to, in a way, smell gases or perceive different compounds in gases and taste different compounds in dissolved salts that we brought with us. So we've been able to explore in every way except for sound. So it's exciting to have that microphone on board. And the other one is the big picture here. This is the first step in Mars sample return. It'll be our first opportunity to pick out samples from the red planet and return those samples to Earth for analysis. We can do a whole lot with robotics on Mars. We've been able to really impressive feats, but there are some things that come very naturally to us here on Earth and are immediate ways that we investigate a rock in our lab that we can't do on Mars. And so bringing those samples back will open a whole new level of discovery about these Mars rocks and understanding ancient environments and understanding modern Mars and being able to investigate possible signs of ancient life.
And Kristen, Curiosity had a mission cycle of 2 years, and it landed in 2012. It's greatly exceeded that. I think it still might be operational now. What are your expectations for Perseverance? I know it's a two-year mission, but are you hoping that you can get some extra years out of this?
Absolutely. Yes. Curiosity is still driving around now. I help out with that mission team as well. So we are actively operating on Mars today. And we are certainly hoping that Perseverance will have a lifetime like Curiosity. Perseverance is really built to be modeled right after Curiosity. It has kind of the same framework for the rover with just a few upgrades. So we really do hope it will similarly last for several years. Also, because this is the mission collecting those samples that will then be able to be returned to Earth, the longer Perseverance lasts, the more variety and diversity of samples that we'll be able to acquire from different environments on Mars. So we can make those returned samples more and more valuable if Perseverance lasts for longer than that prime mission.
When we talk about samples, I'm picturing the weight of these samples. How much volume and how much weight will Perseverance be able to bring back in the rocks and various other things that are collected?
Yeah, it's actually surprisingly not very much. So Perseverance has about 43 sample collection tubes. Some of them are witness tubes or blanks to have just an experimental background to understand any contamination. But the others, so about 38 of them, will be able to collect rock samples. But those rock samples are going to be about the size of your pinky. So it's a pretty small sample. It'll go into a very secure, highly sterilized tube. And then once we've collected those tubes, we won't be able to quite bring back all of those. We'll probably have to leave some in one location on Mars, collect more as we're driving around, and hopefully, be able to grab the best collection we can to bring back to Earth. I think as we're looking at what will come back to Earth, it's up to two dozen, up to 24 to 30 kind of pinky sized rock samples.
And it sounds like just within this conversation with you, you are most interested in those rock samples possibly, but I could be mistaken. What are you most excited about?
Yeah, definitely. I love working with robots exploring Mars. So I am so excited. Every time we send a new mission, we get to see a new landing site and we get to understand a whole different perspective on ancient Mars. I love the way that ancient Mars, it has this record. Mars preserved this record of surface environments that's even more ancient than any record we've preserved on Earth. And so I look at the oldest rocks on Earth, but then when I get to work on one of these missions and look at areas on Mars, it's like seeing what Earth could have looked like in that time before life evolved. Because at that time, it seems that Mars and Earth were actually very similar. And so I just love getting to get that new perspective. I love seeing those images. And one of the rocks that this one will investigate that I'm really excited about, I told you, so it's landing in this crater called Jezero Crater that hosted a lake about the size of Lake Tahoe. And one of the interesting features of that particular landing site is that if you look around the edges of the lake, it's kind of like a bathtub ring. We can see that there are these salts deposited, and the salts are carbonates. It's the kind of salt that precipitates from carbon dioxide. It forms a rock like limestone. And this particular kind of rock does a great job of preserving some of the story of the ancient environment and a great job of preserving ancient life on Earth. And so that's a kind of rock we use on Earth all the time for these ancient life studies. And we haven't found on Mars with other rovers. We've seen it once, but this is a way better clear deposit all around the edges of the lake. And so that's one that I'm really excited to see.
Perseverance, the NASA Mars rover that launched on July 30, and I think traveled, boy, I tell you, almost 300 million miles. It's set to land this afternoon at 1:55 p.m. Mountain Time, and you can view this on nasa.gov. Kirsten, can you tell us what we're going to be able to see?
Yeah, there's a slight delay. So between Mars and Earth, it takes about 11 and a half minutes at this time, right? It depends on where Earth and Mars are in their rotations around the sun. But at this time, it'll take about 11 and a half minutes for a signal coming from Mars to get to Earth. Now, on the other hand, between Perseverance hitting the top of the Martian atmosphere and landing on the ground, it only takes 7 minutes for that landing sequence. And so we will be watching kind of 11 and a half minutes delayed, you know, what happened as Perseverance got to the top of the atmosphere and ends up on the surface. A couple of key points in there were that it'll come down, it'll have a heat shield that'll hit a lot of friction, then it'll have a large parachute that'll slow it down, and finally a sky crane to get it down onto the ground safely.
Yes, and the audio will pick up the entering into the atmosphere, the deployment of the chute, the firing of the rockets to slow the descent, and also the crunch, hopefully a very slight crunch, as the rover hits the Martian surface. Not hits, as it softly
as it gently touches down.
Gently. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. The audio will be really exciting to hear. So we get all of these things in some delay, but that, I think that really enhances the imagery of really fully understanding what it would be like to be landing on Mars and fully exploring that world through the rover's eyes.
Yeah, and ears. For our listeners at home, next Thursday, we hope to have that audio because the actual landing is after the program today, but we will have that audio hopefully for you and play some snippets of it. What one question would you like to have answered geologically? Well, water is of course the big one, but is there anything else out there that you'd really like to accomplish?
Yeah, as we're landing in Jezero Crater, we're hoping to be right next to this area where the rivers were we're coming out from this very old terrain. We have a very old area, and the river comes across there and actually drops down into this lake. And so a lot of my research, a lot of what I'm really excited about is looking at the pebbles and the cobbles and the sand grains that come in with those rivers. And each of those pebbles tells a whole story. So for me, when I look at those rocks that are full of pebbles at the base of a river, I want to look at each pebble and understand where did that come from? What kind of volcano formed that? And what did it go through in being exposed to the atmosphere, being weathered, being broken away from its original rock, being rounded as it came down the stream, maybe broken up and separated from others that are similar to it. And then as it actually gets down into that lake and falls down to the bottom, then some kind of cement must form to glue it to the other pebbles nearby. And so for me, the adventure is figuring out the story encased in each and every one of those pebbles and in the whole story told by the river. And so for me, it's just reconstructing those ancient environments on Mars and understanding what it would have been like to be there, to be standing on Mars 3 billion, 4 billion years ago.
It's very really exciting. Really exciting. Before we let you go, I just want to ask one final question. Now, this mission has implications for the future in terms of human space travel to Mars. And so in doing so, several pieces of a spacesuit are being taken along with Perseverance so that it can be studied, the effects of the Mars environment on a spacesuit and what else?
Yeah, so this mission exactly is definitely one of many. Every one of the missions we've sent, we try to include at least something that'll help us better understand what astronauts will go through when they step onto Mars. And so this one has two major things. One of them is that piece of spacesuit, they've got a piece of the spacesuit material and a piece of helmet visor material. And we're using that actually as a calibration target. It was a place that we'll look very frequently for one of the high resolution cameras. Watson goes with the Sherlock instrument. We've got a few fun names in here, but it'll look at that piece of this astronaut spacesuit material and helmet visor material regularly and see how they change through time, see how they're affected by the Martian environment. And the other tool we have is an instrument called MOXIE, and that will actually be actively turning the carbon dioxide atmosphere on Mars into oxygen. And if there are astronauts on Mars in the future, they'll be able to use that oxygen not only to breathe, but also to provide fuel for their return trip.
Kristen Seebach is the assistant professor at Rice University Department of Earth, Environmental and Planetary Sciences. She is a Martian geologist. Kristen, we wish you tremendous luck this afternoon. It's going to be very exciting. And we want to thank you for joining us on Cool Science Radio.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thanks so much, Kristen. Great to have you. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us, give us a 5, and leave us a comment.
Take us along on your next adventure to the moon.
If you have any story ideas, please let us know at coolscienceradio@kpcw.org.
Thanks for listening, and hey, tune in next week.